Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
On a Monday, happy Advent, the first week of Advent. It's Monday, November 30th, 2020 on EWTN, the Feast of the Apostle Andrew. And oh, the readings are so beautiful today and meant a lot to me and the friends at Ave Maria Radio because we are in our winter drive starting today. And I know that Sacred Heart Radio in Ohio has their drive coming up next week. A lot of our affiliates are having winter drives, so please keep them in your prayers and keep both EWTN and all of your radio affiliates, as Mother Angelica used to say and as the wonderful Father Mitch always says, between your gas and electric bills, because we work together hand in hand to bring you 24/7 Catholic radio, and we're a team. And, for example, EWTN provides all the programming, or most of the programming, to a lot of the affiliates around the country. Many of them have their own programming as well, but also it means such a great deal to them to be able to pick up, whether it's Catholic Connection or The Doctor Is In or Crest in the Afternoon or Open Line, to pick up those programs for free and then share them with their listeners. So that's why it's important to support both your local Catholic radio station, your brick and mortar radio station in your area, and EWTN. So keep Ave Maria Radio in your prayers as well today, and all the other affiliates that have winter drives coming up. Okay, so the first reading today, I just love it, and it is from Romans 10, verses 9 through 18. And the second part of the reading, listen to this as it pertains to evangelization, as it pertains to Catholic media, right? Think about this. And our own individual efforts to teach and preach, which we're going to talk about in detail today on the program. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Love that. So something to think about as we move through this program and every day here on Catholic Connection and all of our great programs on EWTN. And the gospel, of course, another one that just gets you. As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is from Matthew, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. So powerful. And Jesus asks every one of us to leave our nets, to our idea of what our perfect existence and perfect world, if only God would put his stamp of approval on it, right? Here, God, this is what it, because this is me, I'm speaking from personal experience. Here's my plan. It's so wonderful. I can't possibly think that you could do any better, even though you are God and created the entire universe. This is my plan, so please put your stamp on it, and we can be best buddies. But the Lord says, no, trust me. Jesus, I trust in you. Our God loves us. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's my husband's favorite verse. Plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. So we go after him. He makes us fishers of men, and he gives us a whole life so much better than we can ever imagine. I mean, really, how could you outdo God? What an ego we have sometimes. And again, speaking from personal experience. All right. Much to talk about on this Feast of the Apostle Andrew. I do hope you're doing well as we begin this beautiful season of Advent. After the news, and there's a lot of it, we have the amazing, talk about someone who followed the call of God to make a difference in the pro-life movement, our dear friend, Dr. Monica Miller, Red Rose Rescue National Conference. You can either attend in person if you want to travel to southeastern Michigan. You can also attend online. So she'll talk to us about all the great speakers they have lined up. Tom Peterson, friend of ours from EWTN, of course, and also the co-author of a beautiful book, The Willpower Advantage. Very cool book, tying in again with our readings today. We shall explain in a bit. And then, as we always do, closing out our Monday with a beautiful verse from the Bible. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, and Gail Buckley with Catholic Scripture Study International. All right, as you can imagine, busy news day, never a dull moment, so let's get started and see what's happening in and around the world on this Monday, November 30th, 2020. Well, Pope Francis creating 13 new cardinals, urging them to remain vigilant lest they lose sight of their goal of the cross and resurrection. In the seventh consistory of his pontificate, the Holy Father creating cardinals from Africa, Europe, North America, and South America as well. In this first week of Advent, meanwhile, the Pope urging us to invite God to draw close during the new liturgical year. Celebrating Sunday Mass at St. Peter's yesterday, the Holy Father preaching, "Let us make the traditional Advent prayer our own. Come, Lord Jesus." The nation of France, its highest administrative court, ordering modification of a 30-person attendance limit for religious services enacted by the government there. The measure facing strong opposition for being arbitrary and unreasonable. Several bishops refusing to enforce those restrictions. As COVID-19 cases lead to new restrictions in the San Francisco area, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone saying the treatment of churches is discriminatory and violates the right to worship. In a statement released on Friday, he said, "Worship is both a natural and constitutional right. My people," he said, "want to receive the body and blood of Christ. They need it and have every right to be free to do so." He's criticizing a new health order from the state of California, placing San Francisco and San Mateo counties into a more restrictive tier of coronavirus restrictions, resulting in a ban on indoor worship services. The health order treats religious worships, he says, as a non-essential activity while allowing hair and nail salons, massage parlors, and tattoo parlors to remain open. Dean Muccio tells us a mass shipment of coronavirus vaccine has landed at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport.
United Airlines began shipping Pfizer's vaccine from Belgium to Chicago on Friday. It's unclear how many doses were on board the flight. They were packed in dry ice to be kept at below freezing temperatures. Pfizer is still waiting for the FDA to approve the vaccine. The multinational drug company claims its coronavirus vaccine has been found to be 95% effective. Advisors to the CDC will meet on Tuesday to decide who gets the vaccine first.
The mayor of one of the country's major cities, as in Motown, Detroit, laying out the strategy he'll use to get people vaccinated against the coronavirus.
And as soon as the vaccines are available, January or February, we're going to gear up and we intend to vaccinate 5,000 a day.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Mike Duggan saying the city's convention center downtown will be used. You noted the parking structures around the football and baseball stadiums will be used as well. Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri is saying he advocated for more small business funding and direct assistance to Americans for COVID relief.
We need to stabilize, though, through that payroll protection effort that worked so well. Direct money to struggling families would be helpful, and some extension of unemployment.
The Missouri Republican telling CNN State of the Union the left taking an all-or-nothing approach in their push for a $2.4 trillion bill. He added he hopes Congress can get something done before they adjourn for the year in the coming weeks. Iran, as Mark Mayfield tells us, is promising revenge following the killing of a nation's top nuclear scientist.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh was riding in a bulletproof car escorted by security vehicles when he came under attack on Friday. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani accuses Israel of being behind the murder and has threatened revenge. Meanwhile, a hardline Iranian newspaper on Sunday called on Iran to attack the Israeli port city of Haifa if the attack was linked to Israel.
President Trump saying the Department of Justice and the FBI are nowhere to be found when it comes to investigating the election.
This is total fraud, and how the FBI and Department of Justice, I don't know, maybe they're involved.
Trump telling Fox News Sunday Morning Futures he can't say where the agencies are right now. Trump said Joe Biden did not actually receive the 80 million votes in this month's election. Two Republican women who will become members of Congress are talking about the importance of getting other Republican women to also run for office.
One of the reasons why we were so motivated to run is seeing the Democratic women being elected in 2018 that don't necessarily reflect our values.
That's Representative-elect Nicole Melitakis of New York, who told CNN State of the Union it's now her responsibility to make that happen. And Congresswoman-elect Nancy Mace of South Carolina adding that more women have to run and every election cycle.
This is something we have to do, especially in the House, every 2 years. But we made a huge difference this year. And if we want to have a seat at the table, women have to run and they have to win.
And she says they have to run and win in order to have a say in policy and where the country goes from here. With Black Friday and Small Business Saturday in the rearview mirror, shoppers are now moving on to Cyber Monday. Retail Me Not shopping expert Sarah Skirball says if you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, it's getting late.
There are going to be inventory issues. So the sooner you purchase your products that you need for the holiday season, the faster they're going to get to your door. Your item might not get to you by the time that you need it.
Online shopping is a way to go for many, if not most people this year, with the pandemic still posing a threat to public health. Cyber Monday is followed by what's known as Giving Tuesday tomorrow. That's a day encouraging folks to give back in ways both big and little in an effort to transform their communities and the world for the better. And thanks to the coronavirus, land crossings at the border between the U.S. and Canada have been banned since March, and all Canadians have been advised to avoid all non-essential travel. Now, Bill Talbert with the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau says that affects their travel and their businesses in the area for tourism, but they're focusing on domestic tours, though, using CARES Act money to launch a new campaign.
The great outdoors, whether it's our national parks, our state parks, our city parks, and our beaches, the outdoors. That's what attracts people now.
The new campaign is entitled Miamiland. He says once the COVID-19 vaccine is readily available, he does expect snowbirds to flock back to South Florida in full force. And hurricane season is coming to an end today. However, there are still some potential storms that could form. There are currently two areas of concern. A non-tropical low-pressure system located several hundred miles southeast of Bermuda, which is currently producing showers and thunderstorms. However, that storm could get absorbed by an approaching front over the next 5 days. Secondly, there's a non-tropical low expected to form over the eastern Atlantic this weekend. The system has a 30% chance for development. And those who run the Florida Climate Center at FSU say storms can still form in December if sea surface temperatures reach about 80 degrees or higher. Almost 12 minutes past the hour. I do hope that your first week of Advent is going well so far. You are listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Find us both online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. When we come back, we'll be chatting with someone very familiar to our audience, the amazing Dr. Monica Miller, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society, a beautiful conference coming up, and you may want to jot this down. Get a notepad, make a mental note of it, whatever works. You might want the information for this amazing conference. RedRoseRescue.com is a website. We'll be right back.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass. Got caught up in that whole selfishness, that whole, you know, I can do it all. The times when I was struggling were the times I needed God the most. And now that I've come back and accepted God, my world has completely changed.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning. It's Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Always an honor and a blessing to have Dr. Monica Miller. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's a theologian most known for her incredible pro-life work, which she's been doing for decades. She has dedicated her life to this cause, and she's made such a difference and continues to do so. Monica, so much to talk about, but let's first begin by promoting this upcoming conference that you have.
Yeah.
And my understanding is you can still attend if you so choose, a limited amount in person, and then also
exactly.
online, correct?
Yes. December 12th, so there's the date. In St. Charles, Missouri, at the Embassy Suites Hotel, we are having a national conference, the Red Rose Rescue National Pro-Life Conference. We can have up to 100 people attending, and there's still spaces available. And I think this is a, you know, considering, Teresa, what we might be facing, you know, going forward with a possible pro-abortionist, dare I say that, in the White House, you know, depending on how this election is going to, you know, finally get, quote-unquote, settled.
Mm-hmm.
We need to redouble our efforts. We cannot back off one inch. So the Red Rose Rescue is a way for people to do that, I think, Teresa. And for you know, listeners who might not be, aware of what are we talking about? What is a Red Rose Rescue? But this is something I've been involved with for the last 3 years as part of our pro-life work. And a Red Rose Rescue, you know, a lot of your listeners, including, you know, in Al Cresta with Ave Maria Radio, a number of years ago we were involved in a rescue movement, a pro-life rescue movement, Teresa. You might have even covered some stories.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yeah.
About
mm-hmm.
it. Back in the day. So in the 70s, 80s, and the 90s, pro-lifers would literally defend by blocking doors or whatever. They would sit in front of the door to an abortion clinic to actually provide an act of real defense, an act of love for the unborn children who were literally scheduled for extermination. And then also to have that opportunity, that extra opportunity to reach out to the mothers who were scheduled for abortions. A lot of us really believed that even with the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which basically shut down, and there's a lot of other complicated reasons why it happened, but this was a movement. Thousands of pro-lifers participated in it. We now have reconfigured the rescue. We call it a Red Rose Rescue. We are not violating the FACE Act. We've done 24 of these since 2017. We just go into the clinic. We bring roses with us. We sit down next to the moms who are there in the waiting room. We reach out to them. We talk to them. We try to persuade them in that literally the last minutes before they're going to walk down the hallway to get the abortion. And we all will talk to the staff. We've given roses out to the clinic staff people to reach out to them as well. But if the moms don't listen to us, we'll stay. We're going to stay in the clinic, and we cap it at 6 because this is not a protest of abortion. These are acts of charity and a mission. No, I think protesting abortion is an act of charity. Don't get me wrong; it totally is. I've been at how many dozens and dozens and dozens of demonstrations I've planned, but we don't want this to be a protest of abortion. So we cap it at 6 pro-lifers in the waiting room. But if the moms go you know, down the hall and they're going to go, you know, they made the decision not to listen to us, we feel that we need to stay with the unborn, and we will stay. We will stay in the clinic. We'll sing hymns. We'll pray. We'll continue to try to talk to the moms. And I borrow something from St. Mother Teresa because she described her work as going into the dark holes of the poor. You go where the poor are. Where are they? That's where we need to be. And the unborn are the poorest of the poor. If they're scheduled for an abortion, they're an abandoned people group. And we want to be with them and be in solidarity with them. And we know that as long as we are inside the abortion clinic, the abortions are halted.
They do not go on as long as we are there. So we have that presence, our presence in the abortion clinic. And by the way, I should listeners, really, this is pretty amazing. We did a Red Rose Rescue in December of 2017 and in West Bloomfield, Michigan, mm-hmm. at the Women's Center Abortion Clinic. We went to court. The clinic wanted us, the pro-lifers who did the rescue, the clinic wanted us to pay restitution for the income that was lost to the clinic because of our rescue. The clinic director gets on the stand, Pam DiMaggio, and she testifies, complete with a chart, 12 women did not go through with their abortions that day because of our rescue. In any sidewalk counseling situation, that would be a huge victory, mm-hmm. that women turned away with a chart. She actually, you know, itemized with a chart that was brought into court. It was, what a victory that was for us. And so we know that it works. We know that it works. So we're going to be at this conference. I'm going to be speaking. Dr. Janet Smith is speaking. Joseph Scheidler, the father of pro-life activism, is going to be there. Father Fidelius Moshensky is going to be speaking. Father Imbarata will be there. An opportunity for pro-lifers to get together, to talk, to ask questions, to learn, and also a way to rejuvenate ourselves as we go forward. Depending on what's happening with this election. But we always have to go forward, mm-hmm. no matter who occupies the White House.
Right.
Abortions are still happening at almost the rate of 3,000 a day. So we need to rejuvenate ourselves, recommit ourselves. And so this is what we're doing with the Red Rose Rescue, the conference December 12th. People can attend in person to be with us at the hotel, or they can attend virtually. So we'll be live streaming the talks. It's super easy to register, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
All people have to do is just go to the Red Rose Rescue website, so redroserescue.com, click on the events tab, and you can register right online. It's only $75 to be at a full-day conference that includes breakfast and lunch. And what a great time people will have. I hope people will come out.
Oh, you've got some powerful folks who are speaking and who are involved in sponsoring the conference, including Father Stephen Imbarato from Priests for Life. You've got Chris and Joan Bell, regular guests of mine at the March for Life, amazing witnesses in helping women in situations with an unexpected pregnancy. Expectant Mother Care, Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Is there a particular theme, Monica, that you'll be talking about or focusing on at the conference?
Not exactly. I mean, the conference is focused on, what is Red Rose Rescue? How do you do one? Why do we do them? Why should you do them? What's involved? It's an opportunity, even if people are only just curious about it, want to learn about this pro-life mission, that's the focus of the conference.
What are you seeing in terms of involvement of folks getting involved in pro-life efforts at the different facilities around the country? Are they increasing? Do you need more people? What are you seeing?
We always need more people. I say that. Even though I'm involved with the Red Rose Rescue, but when all is said and done, it is the persistent, consistent presence of pro-lifers outside of abortion clinics that's the most important work, to be there on a consistent basis. I mean, my husband with Guadalupe Workers, he's outside of Detroit abortion clinics, at least once a week, and often more than once a week, talking to the moms, reaching out to these mothers, and here's the thing, Teresa. There is no pro-life action, whatever it is, that is wasted. And to be outside of an abortion clinic to pray,
mm-hmm.
while the moms are going in there, to be that presence, that witness on the street. So that we're, you know, if we don't do that, then really we're not a movement. If, you know, whatever else we're doing, we have to be there where the unborn are put to death. They need us. And here's the thing, you know, to be at the clinics, even if the babies go, you know, the moms go in the clinics, and even if the unborn die, they don't die alone. And that's the thing we have to key in on. So no pro-life presence, no pro-life witness, no picket, no sidewalk counseling, no Red Rose Rescue, no matter what the outcome, is ever a failure. It's always a victory.
Monica, let's take a break, and we'll talk more about the overall pro-life issue and other areas and ways we can help. And if you have a question for Dr. Monica Miller, 877-573-7825. It is a Monday. It is Advent, and we're chatting with Dr. Monica Miller from Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, you, I, live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How can we be sure our conscience is guiding us rightly? The Catholic Catechism states that in order to make correct moral judgments, we must have a well-formed conscience, one that is upright, truthful, and formulates its judgments according to reason and conforms them to the true good willed by the wisdom of the Creator. In order to avoid the trap of negative influences and the desire to prefer our own judgments, we must educate our conscience. The Catechism asserts that prudent education teaches virtue and guarantees freedom and engenders peace of heart. What are the ingredients of this educational stew? The Word of God, which we absorb through faith and prayer and an examination of conscience before the Lord's cross. Though our modern world sometimes makes discernment difficult, a well-formed conscience helps us see what is right and choose what is the will of God as expressed in divine law. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Continuing our conversation with Dr. Monica Miller, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. Monica, the situation we're possibly facing, depending on how this investigation and the different certifications and lawsuits end up, and if Joe Biden should be certified as the next president, he calls himself a Catholic. He is part of a ticket that is the most liberal ever on record in terms of a team running for the top office and the second office in the land. And in terms of abortion, no limits, and has promised to codify Roe v. Wade and make it the law of the land. Now, we already know that Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton gave us abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. But God willing, if it's overturned, it still goes back to the states. And so then there's other battles that will ensue. However, Biden publicly proclaimed shortly before the election in one town hall that he did that he's going to codify it and make it the law of the land, so that even if it is overturned, for example, there's nothing that they can do about it in terms of state by state. So it's very frightening, not to mention how he feels about so-called same-sex marriage, how he feels about the transgender agenda. He made that clear as well during another town hall. So everything, the core teachings of the church that are core teachings that do not change, we can learn more about them. Of course, as we've learned, for example, about the development of the baby in the womb, we've learned more about the damage of abortion, but those teachings are core and they do not change, and those life teachings are paramount. So the confusion that already occurred when he served in the position of vice president, should he serve in the White House, what are your concerns?
My concerns, the first concern that I do have is how the bishops will respond to a pro-abortion Biden presidency. Now, here, let me kind of put this in context a little bit. It was one thing for an Obama or a Clinton to be occupying the White House and be as pro-abortion as they were. Okay, bad enough. But they weren't Catholics. They did not come right directly under the jurisdiction of the bishops, the church, the teachings of the church, and so on. I'm not saying I'm giving them a pass, but when someone claims to be Catholic and they so vehemently, directly, proudly even oppose the teachings of the faith on this incredibly grave and serious issue, the life issue, you know, this is the scandal that we're going to be facing as a church. That, and I want people to understand, they need to key in, because here's the thing. Abortion often, and I think for some bishops as well, but abortion is treated as if it were just a teaching of the church over which we might have a disagreement. No. Abortion is not just a teaching of the church that maybe Joe Biden doesn't accept. He doesn't accept the teaching. Abortion is 62 million dead people. And when somebody supports the law of Roe v. Wade, advocates for it, defends it, and facilitates it, that is sin. That is injustice. That is lack of charity toward your neighbor. And the bishops have to say so. And that's our concern as the people of God, Teresa, mm-hmm. moving forward in a Biden presidency. The truth has to be spoken.
My concern is that what's already happened in terms of the imagery, because we know that perception is reality, and how many people do we know who claim, well, he's Catholic, he's a good Catholic, he goes to Mass, he walks in church with his rosary, and only God can judge the heart. So we're not talking about passing judgment on his soul. That's God's responsibility, and that's between him and God. But we do have a responsibility to preach the truth and to tell people that, well, you know, there's a difference between saying that one is Catholic and understanding and embracing what that really means, because we are to understand that there is grave sin, that there are teachings that are non-negotiable. We can disagree on the environment.
Action.
We can, it's actions, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do judge actions. We don't judge hearts, but we do judge actions. That's why we have courts of law, for crying out loud, to be, you know, not to simplify it, but that's basically it. And it's very, very confusing, because how do you go up against something like that when you have these images that are out there?
It really says, if he is permitted to go and receive communion, which he's been doing all along anyway, but okay, I just think that should he occupy the White House, the scandal becomes even more forceful, more grave. And it's almost as if we're saying abortion must not be that bad. It must not be that serious. It must not be that wrong.
Right.
This is something that we can just have a disagreement about. it's as ridiculous as that is. But so I think this is our challenge, Teresa, as we go forward into 2021.
Right.
This is our main challenge.
How do we respond as Catholics who are doing our best, not that we're perfect, far from it, but doing our best to uphold the teachings? And this is the foundational teaching, because if you lose that, everything implodes. I mean, you can't build
exactly
a house on sand, as Jesus reminds us so often in Scripture. So how can we help people understand why this is so important? Because it's exhausting, especially before leading up to an election. You and I were talking about this during the break, about how many people were voting on feelings versus faith this time around. And they were openly admitting that to me on many occasions and other talk show hosts. So before we wrap up, any thoughts on ways to move forward? Because I think regardless of whomever ends up in the White House, this discussion is going to be there because of the prominence of many of these pro-abortion leaders that are still out there?
I think that Catholics should be getting meetings, face-to-face meetings with their bishops. I think, you know, people need to be chosen who are articulate, who have some education, are able to actually, you know, talk one-on-one with somebody like a bishop to get to sit down and actually make meetings with bishops and talk about these concerns. Because I think, you know, we are a hierarchical church, and even to have pastoral letters written and help the bishops write them, and, you know, we might just have to start, you know, protesting in the streets, Teresa, honestly. That's what it might come to. But I think the first step, we really do need to talk one-on-one with our pastors, our meaning the bishops, and let them know what is on our heart.
Right. I think that is an excellent way. And I think people might be surprised, and I know you do this regularly, at how open they are to sitting down, because
yes,
they can't do it alone. We can't have this attitude that, well, yes, we need their leadership, as you said in the beginning of the second segment, but we have to be there with them as the body of Christ working together, because, you know, this is what Vatican II, in terms of the laity getting involved, and you, something you know so well because of the ministry that you've been involved for so many years. And it's important for us, and many people, actually, before the election, I had several people write me saying they did write letters to their bishops, and they were pleased to hear back from them. So we need to join together with them to make a difference, and we'll keep on this topic. Monica, thanks so much. Conference coming
Thank
up
you.
On the 12th, RedRoseRescue.com, and also ProLifeSociety.com. Dr. Monica Miller, Citizens for a Pro-Life Society. Our friend Tom Peterson joining us up next. The Willpower Advantage: Building Habits for Lasting Happiness. Great book. We'll be right back.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Over the last 50 years, we've had some of the greatest popes since the Reformation era. So why are things such a mess in American Catholicism? How do we analyze and confront the attacks we're facing? How do we identify wolves in sheep's clothing? How do we re-evangelize the baptized? Dr. Ralph Martin makes sense of a church in crisis and shows pathways forward. He'll make sense of a disordered world. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and you'll find it in our online bookstore.
Tom Peterson, you know him well from his great work at Catholics Come Home at EWTN and his many talks and other great works. The latest book that he co-authored, The Willpower Advantage, Building Habits for Lasting Happiness. And what a great book to talk about today as we start Advent, especially if you think about the readings today of the Apostle Andrew and Jesus saying to the apostles of the seashore, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Tom, always great to speak with you. How are you? Happy Advent.
I'm blessed, my friend. Happy Advent to you and all your listeners.
All right, so tell us about the Willpower Advantage.
I came out of confession a couple of years ago, and the priest said to me in absolution, as he says to all of us, go and sin no more. And as I'm kneeling there to do my penance, I said, how am I supposed to do that? I live in Atlanta. There's heavy traffic, and I get tweaked in heavy traffic. So I started a quest to find a way to help get rid of those vices that plagued me and build those spiritual virtue muscles so that I could be happier in life, find more peace. And the book was born out of that.
So I'm looking at one of the lines in the summary from our friends at Ignatius, who published this fine book. It says, we are not called to be passive. We are called to use our will and our strength to receive God's grace and transform the world, beginning with ourselves. And I think this is key because many of us think about Christianity as, okay, we have a personal relationship with Christ. Obviously, it's very important and nothing more personal than in the church, and we can receive him, body, blood, and soul, and divinity. But at the same time, I think too many of us are guilty of, myself included, trying to keep the faith just, you know, to ourselves or within our own very comfortable circles. But that's not what Jesus said to the apostles in the gospel today.
No, he asked us to cooperate with him. And cooperate means not only just going along with the flow, but cooperate. So do what we need to do, work as hard as we can, and then rely on God's grace to fill in all the blanks and carry us all the way. And you know what? We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. If you look at the apostles, they were cowering in the upper room. Who or what changed them? The Holy Spirit gave them the wind in their sails. That's what the willpower advantage is all about, for us to surrender our will and say, Lord, you're a loving Father who knows how I can be ultimately happy and fulfilled in life. You know my temperament. I'm an odd duck, but you've wired me this way. Help me to get to the finish line and be happy and bring as many people with us, me as I can, to that finish line.
You said that word that so many people are afraid of, Tom, and that word is surrender. And I was mentioning that at the top of the hour. Where Jesus is telling the apostles to leave behind the career, the job, the income that they had for so many years as rough and tumble fishermen, and to become fishers of men, something they probably didn't know what he meant by, but they were called and they followed him, and they surrendered. Yeah. They surrendered. And sometimes I think, and I know that was a journey for me to finally surrender my plans for myself, to surrender to God. And it's kind of funny if you think about it, because we're afraid to surrender to the creator of the universe. How could we think that someone who died on the cross for us, even if we were the only person on this planet, he would do it again, is going to have something bad for us in store?
Right. Well, you know, when I had that retreat experience 25 years ago that changed my life, I was called to surrender too. But here's the cool thing I found, and I'm sure you have too, that we're not surrendering the gifts God gave us. We're not surrendering what makes us happy. He takes it. I'm an advertising guy who loves to talk to people. He took that and perfected it and said, okay, instead of you just benefiting off of it personally, you're going to use the talents and gifts I gave you to evangelize the world in a special way. So each one of the listeners out there has a unique set of talents, a unique temperament, and God will use that to bring about the deepest longings of your heart if you say, Jesus, I do trust in you. But what we have to be aware of is the devil and his minions, his little helpers, are constantly whispering in our ear, do it yourself. Don't trust him. Where God is a loving Father and he has our best interest in mind, we can trust him, and we have to get in the habit of trusting him, and we'll see how our lives get much easier and much more peaceful.
We're talking with Tom Peterson, who co-authored this beautiful book, The Willpower Advantage, Building Habits for Lasting Happiness, with Dr. Ryan Hanning. You can find the book at the EWTN Religious Catalog, AveMariaRadio.net, and also Ignatius.com. So, Tom, you talk about the willpower advantage. That sounds like something that we alone handle, but you're talking about relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and God, correct?
Right. I mean, I'm a marketing advertising guy. I wanted it to be a big net. And if I called it this, it sounds a little bit like a self-help book, a little bit like Tony Robbins might have written it. And that's part of the purpose, that I want it to be a broad net that will draw in people not only deep in their faith, like a lot of your listeners, most of your listeners, but those who are new in their faith journey or maybe saying, I'm not happy or I'm really lacking peace in these tumultuous times. Where can I find some answers? So when you look at it, when we give our will to God and say, Lord, I want to do it your way, we gain his power and we have an advantage in life. So the title's, you know, kind of a creative title to draw in more souls, to really show them what the ultimate answer is. And the answer is not our will be done, but his will, as the Blessed Mother has told us all along.
Right. And so what you're doing in this book is it includes, explain what you mean by a spiritual audit.
Yeah. And that was key to it. We worked with psychologists and psychiatrists from the Institute of Psychological Studies and good Catholic research people, where we can really look at our temperament, take an introspective look at me personally. Lord, how am I wired? I'm a choleric, melancholic by temperament. What are the things, the vices, and the things that trip me up? And when I have my spiritual antenna honed, then I know, okay, these are the things I need to work on. And these other things, these other virtues and vices that, they're not necessarily in my of my concern. So when we can focus on those two or three things that trip us up most often and steal our peace and joy, we can have a better game plan for getting through life and finding that true happiness, building those virtue muscles that will carry us to heaven.
What do you think has happened in these past few months with the struggles and the stresses of something that came out of nowhere, practically, COVID-19, in terms of maybe preventing people from taking an honest spiritual audit? I know it's sometimes difficult to break out of what we're seeing around us, and it's very debilitating.
I don't think it came from nowhere, and I'm going to say something controversial. I think this was well planned by the evil one and his helpers. And the whole goal was to separate us from other people, to keep us muzzled, to keep us away from the sacraments, to close our churches, to get us depressed. They don't want us on the planet anymore. So the real goal we have is to say, okay, Lord, I can't control the world. I can't control the problems of the church, but I can control how I react to them. And the willpower advantage gives us that those answers we've been looking for, that peace we've been seeking. It's kind of providential. The Lord really designed this a year before COVID, and it came out right when we needed it most. When we're down, we're going into a gloomy winter, this is a time we need that hope more than ever, and to share it with others. Give it as a gift to others, because they're all looking for answers too, because it is crazy out there, and we need each other more than ever. So, Teresa, the second thing we did is we created a website called AmenAlleluia.com. Now, those words are the same in every language on the planet. So isn't it cool we can have one website to unite all Christians? And the slogan of the website is uniting people of goodwill in living God's will. And the Willpower Advantage book is the core, but uniting us as a community to help each other, to iron sharpens iron, to support each other, even if it's only electronically at this point, will help us to unify as the body of Christ.
All right, so where can we, what's the best place to go to get the book? Would you say that website, or would you say okay.
AmenAlleluia.com is a great place because you can find other resources, prayer apps where you can pray for other people around the world. They can pray for you. You can get reminders sent to you if you want in your emails to build you up and give you encouragement. You can go to CatholicsComeHome.org, or again, Ignatius Press, Ave Maria, EWTN. There's a lot of places, your favorite bookstore, to get the book. But it really will give you answers you've been seeking for so long and help you find that ultimate happiness. And
again, I love that name of that website, AmenAlleluia.com. Makes me want to raise my hands and praise and worship the Lord.
Yeah, I believe, therefore I rejoice. Huh?
Amen.
Isn't that positive?
I believe,
therefore I rejoice. Same words in every language on the planet. Even the name of Jesus is not the same. But in French, Italian, Tagalog, Filipino, it's all the same. Amen and Alleluia. AmenAlleluia.com.
Tom, always great to catch up with you. Happy Advent. You get us motivated and get us pumped up to go out there and make a difference. Tom Peterson, of course, you know him well from his great work at EWTN with Catholics Come Home. Now co-authoring this really cool book, The Willpower Advantage, Building Habits for Lasting Happiness, co-authored by Ryan Hanning, PhD, and great, great instruction there on how to be truly happy and peaceful because you're doing God's will. You won't be happy until you do His will that He has set specifically aside for you, because we are all unique and made in His image. AmenAlleluia.com. And I would say, Tom, Amen, Alleluia, Yay, Jesus, as I always like to say.
Teresa, God bless you, my friend. Advent blessings to all your wonderful listeners. Let's keep praying for each other. It's always darkest before the dawn. Jesus has something great planned. Let's be true Advent disciples and prepare for that goodness coming.
Amen. Alleluia.com and Yay Jesus. We'll be right back. Thanks, Tom. Stay tuned. More Catholic Connection coming up with Gail Buckley and our Scripture Verse of the Week.
Join Monica Miller, Janet Smith, Joe Scheidler, and other great speakers for the Red Rose Rescue National Pro-Life Conference. Learn about and become part of this exciting, bold, and effective defense of the unborn. Be there Saturday, December 12th in St. Charles, Missouri. Attend virtually or in person. For all details and to register, see RedRoseRescue.com, RedRoseRescue.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 51 minutes past the hour. Always great to have Gail Buckley with us from Catholic Scripture Study International to wrap up a Monday with basic instructions before leaving Earth. Our Bible verse of the week. Take it away, Gail. What's our verse for today?
Okay, today's verse is from Luke chapter 15, verse 4, and it says, "So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" And I think we had this reading a few weeks ago at Mass. I know we did, but I love this verse. And this is something I don't usually share with people because I know that many will find it difficult to believe. But 26 years ago, when I was living a very wild life before I became Catholic, and I was not being a good Christian either, I started having locutions. And for those people that are listening that don't know what a locution is, it's hearing an interior voice. And at that time, I had no idea what that was. To me, anyone who heard voices was insane. And that's exactly what I thought. I thought I was losing my mind. And one day, when I heard the voice again for the umpteenth time, I just blurted out, "Why are you bothering with me?" And that's when I heard Jesus say, "Wouldn't I leave my 99 sheep and go after the one that strayed?" Teresa, I didn't know Scripture then. I really wasn't familiar with that verse or the verse we have today. But I instinctively knew that was Jesus speaking to me. And soon after that, I had a very profound conversion of heart. And that's a very long story, and I won't go into that today, but I just wanted to explain why I love this verse so much. And I'm thinking, if Jesus spoke to me and said those words, that just proves to me that he truly loves each and every one of us so very much. And, you know, there's also a verse in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 16, where God says, "I will seek the lost."
Oops, Gail, I think we're losing you. We're losing you. Your phone's going in and out. And
you
repeat
the,
yeah, repeat that verse again from the Old Testament.
"I will ask the injured, and I will strengthen the weak."
Okay, you know what, and, honey, we can't. We have to end, unfortunately, because your phone connection for some reason is very bad. So what we'll do is we will get the scripture verse from you, and we'll put it up on our archive section to hopefully regroup with you next week. I hate when that happens because I actually made a little bit more time for Gail today. So sorry about that, but we want to make sure that our listeners can hear you clearly And sometimes the phones simply don't operate well. Technology is wonderful when it works. It's about 54 minutes past the hour, wrapping up a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, wishing you a beautiful and a blessed Advent. And just a reminder to pray for our affiliates, many of whom are having winter drives this week, next week, including AveMariaRadio.net. After I am done here, I will switch a connection and be on the air in Michigan to do our winter drive. And so pray for us, and we'll pray for all the other affiliates, including Sacred Heart Radio, which has one next week. And think about this. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So if you think about giving to EWTN and one of your local affiliates, think about what a gift that is. Not only for yourself, and many of you write us on a regular basis of how much you benefit from all the programming, whether it be TV, radio, the internet, that EWTN produces, and in conjunction, of course, with affiliates around the country. So you grow from that. And so because you change, as Tom Peterson mentioned earlier, that is going to change your life and those around you. It's like that positive, beautiful fallout. And then by supporting Catholic radio, you are supporting witnessing not only in your area with your local affiliate, but with the gospel message around the country and around the world, because EWTN is international. We are on Sirius. We are on the internet. We are on shortwave radio, and we are on hundreds and hundreds of brick and mortar stations around the country. And by giving to EWTN or your local affiliate, you can make a difference not only in your home and your community, but, and this is no, you know, exaggeration, around the world. Hopefully we'll get Gail next Monday. In the meantime, we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Have a blessed day. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.